Palm Sunday is a paradox. When we look at Jesus in today's gospel reading, it doesn't take a Fox News political correspondent to figure out this is not what a king is supposed to look like. Right? St. Matthew quotes the prophet, the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, who tells us, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." When Jesus comes around, he fulfills that prophecy. The people of Jerusalem cast their clothes on the ground and palm branches, celebrating this king coming into town, and made way for Jesus and his disciples and all of his followers behind him. Now, it may not have been a red carpet affair, but I think it was pretty close. They also cut these branches of palm trees, a symbol of patriotism, or a Jewish naturalistic hope. It was basically as if we were flying flags for a person coming into town, waving them as they cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David!" Do you know what the word Hosanna means? Anybody, shout it out. What does Hosanna mean? Lord, save us now, we pray. They're shouting this to this man, Jesus, seated on a donkey. Save us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that they would have been chanting, yelling even, that means save us now. Save us from what? You might wonder. Save us from who? The Romans? Sure, why not? In first century Israel, in Jerusalem, the people were fed up with Roman soldiers tramping around their city, enforcing Roman occupation, collecting Roman taxes for a Roman emperor who claimed to be a god. And this was in Jerusalem. It was as if you had to pay unnecessary taxes to someone in a different country, as if you didn't have enough taxes to pay on your own right now here. Of course they wanted to get rid of the Romans. They were in their domain. Hosanna, save us, Lord. No doubt they also wanted to be saved from this guy named Herod, the supposed king of the Jews, who was set up to be a watchguard for the Romans while he was over in Jerusalem. Herod, the supposed king of the Jews, although he was neither Jewish himself, nor really even a king. He was merely a puppet of Rome. Hosanna to the Son of David, they cry. Maybe the people also wanted to be saved from the corruption of all the temple priests and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, the Pharisees. Of course, we all know that sometimes we can see the hypocrisy that we see in churches even. Hosanna! Lord, save us! Yet whatever they wanted saving from, the people knew who they wanted to save them. Jesus of Nazareth, whom they called the Son of David, King David. That's the same as calling Jesus as a king. Because the Jews believed that one day a Messiah, an anointed person, a special person, a savior, would come and sit on King David's throne, restore the original kingship that they had in the Old Testament, not have these jokers, the Romans, guarding them. They would want an original Jewish king once more. In John's gospel, the crowds call Jesus the King of Israel. But again, when we look at this picture of Palm Sunday, despite all the palm branches and the crowds and the excitement, you really can't just help but think, this is not what a king is supposed to look like. I recognize that we as Americans don't really know a whole lot about kings and kingdoms. Not really anymore. After all, we got rid of our last king, King George III, in the year 1776, when we had the American Revolution. No more kings. We have presidents now. So unless you follow the British royals over there in Great Britain with Prince Harry and all the princesses, all those people that we see in People magazine, or maybe if you study up on European history, I'm guessing you're probably not all that familiar with a kingship or a monarchy. And that's probably for the best. But let's be honest. What kind of king enters a capital city riding on a donkey, as he's just squawking probably, as donkeys do? We expect a king to be come on into town stomping on a white stallion, on a horse, with an armored charger, and like soldiers, and like armor. Not a lowly donkey. We expect the king of Israel to be coming with an army backing him up. Not a motley crew of fishermen, these 12 ordinary guys that are probably all dusty and gross. Not these crowds made up of poor people and injured and broken and blind people. We expect this king to get a royal fanfare, trumpets blaring, banners waving, as he's welcomed into the city by military, by the political and religious elite. Rather than cheering crowds of poor women and children. Quite simply, this is not what a king should look like. The poor people of Jerusalem wanted an earthly king, you see. They wanted an earthly king to come in and destroy their enemies, knock out the Romans, get them out of our country, set things right. A Messiah who would reign in peace forever and put Israel back at the center of the world. But that's not the kind of king Jesus was. At least not yet. He came humble and mounted on a donkey, says Matthew. He came with no army, not even the angels he could summon with a prayer. But Jesus didn't come to do what people hoped he would do. Jesus did not come to do what people expected him to do. And you see, that's where the problems start. He didn't come to save the people of Israel from the Romans or even their own religious leaders. He came for something much, much, much bigger and better than that. He came to save these people and all people from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Jesus came to save them from themselves. So no wonder then that this week that we called Holy Week, no wonder that Jesus' week would end with crucifixion, death for this supposed king. No wonder then this week would end with a hasty burial in a borrowed tomb. You see, nobody likes to be told that the problem they need to be saved from is themselves. Nobody wants to hear that the problem is themselves. Nobody likes to be told that they're their own worst enemy. Because people get killed for saying stuff like that. And Jesus certainly did. But Jesus didn't act like a king the way they wanted him to do. So instead of wearing these royal robes, he would be stripped down naked and beaten while soldiers gambled off his clothing. Instead of a golden crown, he would wear a crown of thorns to be mocked as they taunted him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And instead of being put on a throne, this king would be hoisted up on a wooden cross. And there he would hang and suffocate and die with a sign above his head that read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Seriously, this is not the way a king is supposed to look like. But it is the way that Jesus does king. You see, as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, as we celebrate and look toward this Friday, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, it is precisely there that Jesus is fulfilling his role as a king. It is here on the cross that Jesus is bringing all of his military might. It is here as he's hanging, as he's dying on the cross, Jesus is fulfilling all these royal legal laws, all these religious laws. Here, Jesus is the most he is exalted, the most he is a king as he's suffering on the cross. And that's why Jesus is called a king. The biggest victory in the world happened on the cross. No bombs went off. No fireworks shot out in the air. But it was here that Jesus had the biggest victory that no world war could ever take away. This is how Jesus looks like a king. God sent his son Jesus into our human flesh to be our king, to suffer betrayal, become our savior, because Jesus wasn't going to do king the way people wanted him to do. Jesus was going to do king his way, God's way, the way it was foretold in the Old Testament. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, being humble and mounted on a donkey. Coming with peace, not war. Love, not hate. Forgiveness, not guilt. Jesus comes with salvation. He comes to save us. Hosanna, quite literally. Save us from sin. Save us from ourselves. He comes to answer our cry even, Hosanna, by not just saving us from discomfort or inconvenience or petty little enemies or the problems that we face daily. Jesus comes to save us from sin itself, from the scariness of death, eternal death. Jesus comes to save us from the devil, all evil. He comes to save us from ourselves. And the way he does that is lowering himself. Not bring himself high, but lowering himself. Getting off his high throne in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and coming down to your level. That's what a king looks like. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He already had it. He made himself nothing. Nothing. Taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians tells us. Jesus didn't count equality with God to be something to be grasped. He is God in the flesh, as God as you can be. And he lowered himself to our sick and disgusting standard to save us from the muck and mire that we're rolling around in. Being born in a feeding trough, Christmas Day, in a manger. He brings us from the depths of our own ugliness and our own sin. And he is the one that exalts us to his high standard. And according to Jesus, that's what a king looks like. That's the way you serve your subjects and save the world. By dying for the world you've come to save. Because only death can atone for sin. And only bloodletting will let you save others. The best example that we have isn't really a king in our country. It might even be what we wanted to be a king. General George Washington, our first president. And what people liked in him was that he was a general for the people. He fought alongside his people, not seated behind the front lines, watching from a distance. He was in with his people. That's what Jesus, the true King, does with us. God is not some distant fairy tale old man in the sky sitting on a cloud watching from above. God is intimately connected to your life, in, with, and under everything you do. He puts your Holy Spirit in your heart. And God is with you, Emmanuel. That's what a king does. That's what a king looks like. And that's exactly what we see and we look to the cross. Even though it's the most disgusting and bloody and ugly thing the world has ever seen, it's the most beautiful thing. The cross is our hope. It's our flag, if you will, our victory sign. And someday Christ, just like he did, will come again. He will judge the world to set things right. After all, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day our prayers of Hosanna, save us, will turn into triumphant shouts of Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But today, let's slow it down a little bit. Today is Palm Sunday, not Easter. We are to start this Holy Week and not yet at the last day. Jesus is still the King who comes in mercy and grace. He is still humble and lowly. So, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, rejoice and be glad. Your King comes to save you from your sins and save you from yourself. Because that's how Jesus does King. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When we see the cross, when we see those crowns of thorns, that's where we see our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.